January the 14th, seven games, and we have a lot to talk about, you and I. Some good, some bad. Prepare for some chatter about DeAndre Ayton. This is the Tuesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and subscribe to our channels, like our episodes, download our episodes, do the five-star thing on Apple. I think that's a thing. I'm not an Apple guy, but that's what I hear. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Seven games. Let's just start with the games, I think. I've got some thoughts on DeAndre Ayton, but we will talk about him when we get to the game. Let's do it that way. Otherwise, we're working backwards. First game of the night. Well, we can talk about Philly anyway, can't we? OKC at Philadelphia. Pretty comfortable win in the end for the Thunder. 118-102, is that right? Yes, 118-102. Look, I think the Thunder did just enough here. They probably saw this as a comfortable win, which, as I said, it was in the end, and they probably had to play their guys a little bit more than they would have liked. Credit to the Sixers. They were gutsy, and they actually made this competitive in the final quarter. For the Thunder, SGA, absolutely fine MVP favorite at this stage, I would say. Kayson Wallace had 18 points. Only one steal, but we love the 18 points. Hartenstein doing his thing with 9 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Didn't hit a 3. He went 0 of 1. That would have been nice. Lou Dort had 8. Yeah, not much to do with Dort there. Jalen Williams, 24, 4 and 6 with 3 steals and a block. So pretty good numbers. Dort, look, he's probably expendable. I think I'd rather Wallace. I think he has edged ahead of Dort in the rotation at this point. Caruso was back. He had 2 steals and a block. So if you streamed him in, that's what you get. I don't think he's going to go beyond 20 minutes. And it'll just be, again, Caruso, Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, just chopping and changing there on the bench. So other than streaming, I'm not really looking at anyone on the bench here. For the Sixers, though, what a starting lineup. Ricky Council, Kelly Oubre, Gershon Yabusele, Eric Gordon, and Reggie Jackson. My God. So Embiid was out. He's always out. Maxey was a fairly, well, late-ish scratch with a hand injury, I believe, or I don't know, some injury. And then, of course, they ruled out Paul George just before tip-off just to make it a perfect perfect trio of injuries there. I don't know what they're doing here. I tweeted out, I can't imagine how hard it is being a Sixers fan at the moment. There are other teams that probably fall into that bucket. But, yeah, it is rough. So knowing who to stream in, I said maybe Reggie Jackson. He was trash. He had 4 assists, a steal, 4 points. So that backfired. Ricky Council had 13, 4, and 4. Yabusele, I mean, we talked about him probably being an ad with Drummond and Embiid out, and that paid off. He had 17, 7, and 4. Kelly Oubre, not his best game, but he just didn't shoot the ball well. He still had 4 steals. I actually think he's better when there's other guys around him. Otherwise, I mean, you look at this team, who's the defense going to lock in on? It's going to be Kelly Oubre. It's going to be Eric Gordon, I suppose. So I'm not worried about Oubre here. And then Justin Edwards came off the bench, if you know who he is, 25, 6, and 4 with a steal. Do we add him? Look, if these injuries are going to hang around, sure, but I don't think they will, other than Embiid. George and Maxi could be back for the next game. So Edwards, great tonight if you streamed him in, as was Jeff Doughton, who had 18, 5 and 3 with two steals and a block. But at this stage, I couldn't care less. Next game, Cleveland at Indiana. The Cavs get revenge on the Pacers. Here, 127 to 117. As always, not a lot to talk about for the Cavs. Mobley, Jared Allen, Garland, Donovan Mitchell, they were all very, very good. Dean Wade started, did nothing. LeVert and Strus sort of split minutes off the bench. LeVert was probably the better one tonight. 7 points, seven assists, five rebounds, two steals, two blocks. Strus had 13, 4, and 4 with a steal and a block. So lines like that, they're both rosterable, but we're just not getting that consistently. So I think they're streamish, but you need to catch the right one on the right night. So it's pretty tough. For the Pacers, no Halliburton. So his hamstring injury was changed to a groin injury, which I guess is a good thing. I still would expect him to miss some time here. So Andrew Nembhard, we talked about him being the ad, and he didn't shoot the ball well. He had 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting, but 9 assists, 3 steals. I think he has to be rostered. He will be a double-digit scorer. He will be 7-plus assists, and he's not a terrible defender. He's not elite, but he will usually get you 1 to 2 steals a game as well. Siakam was very Siakam. Mathurin got ejected with, I don't know what he was thinking there. He clearly fouled. He didn't think that he fouled. He clapped at the ref, and I know it's pretty soft, but you know you can't do that. He got a tech foul. He continued to clap. He got another tech foul. They were down by, I want to say, 8 or 9 at the time, and the Cavs then went down the other end and scored sort of 5 unanswered points and basically put this one to bed. So well done, Benedict Mathurin. TJ McConnell, 21 minutes. That's probably enough. 10 points, 8 assists and a steal. So I think we hold him if you picked him up tonight. Obi Toppin had 10, 3 and 3 with a steal in his 20 minutes. That's pretty borderline as well. I'd rather TJ here. And Jarris Walker is playing well, 11, 5 and 1 with a block, but the minutes not really there. If he was at 20 minutes, I'd probably lean towards him over Toppin, but I still think Toppin is just ahead of him in the rotation. Phoenix at Atlanta. Good win for the Hawks. Phoenix were up. Atlanta went on this weird run. They end up winning 122 to 117. Suns go with their new starting lineup. Mason Plumlee continues to be useless. 3, 5, and 4 with a block. Other than rebounds, we're streaming him, but nothing else. And he only had 5 of them here, so that was a bit of kick in the nuts. Tyus Jones, 6 assists. I think we can drop him. If you need production now, I'm okay with dropping him. Ryan Dunn had 14, 1 and 1. That's not too bad, but 22 minutes is not enough for me to be rostered. Grayson Allen had 9 points, 3 threes off the bench. I think he's a little safer than Ryan Dunn at this point. Beal had 11, 4, and 3. There were a couple of instances in this game where he just looked clueless. So I don't know. It seems like he will be on the way out, but I don't know. We haven't heard much about it in the last few days at least. And then Iguodaro, 19 minutes. We thought he was pushing up into the mid-20s and didn't play as much here. I'd still rather him over Plumlee, I think, despite the fact that Plumlee played 25 minutes here. If you were looking to take a risk or a flyer on one of them, I'd rather Iguodaro. Royce O'Neal, 16 minutes. Look, he had a steal. He had an assist. He will be better than this. If you streamed him in, I haven't looked at their schedule, but he is still he's probably a very soft hold. Maybe you give him one more game and see what happens. For the Hawks, no Jalen Johnson in this one. DeAndre Hunter was a late scratch as well. So we got Vit Krejci into the starting lineup. I have a weird sort of I don't know. I don't know what my relationship with Vic Krejci is, but I like him. For some reason, I don't know why, he had 15, 5, and 6 with 2 steals, 3 threes. Great. I streamed him in 2 leagues, managed to get him late, so pretty happy about that. If Hunter misses more time, I think he's a hold. I'd have him over Reece Shea based on this and based on what we've seen. Clint Capella, 3-8-1-1. He's a hold, but this is the game we were waiting for. We talked about it on the pregame show. I said that I like to be a glass half full kind of a person when it comes to Onyeka Okongwu. And finally, it paid off. 22 points, 21 rebounds, a steal. A block would have been nice, but he was efficient from the line, efficient from the floor, and he played 28 minutes. And the Hawks would love it if he would do this every night. Obviously, he's not going to get 21 rebounds and 22 points, but if he could be a 15-9 guy with a block, they would love it. So I think he's going to continue to get that opportunity. So if you held him, well done. Bogdan played. He only had 9 points. He had been looking better. I think I'd hold him. He just couldn't shoot tonight, 3 of 13. So I'd be holding him. Garrison Matthews got hot in this one, 5 of 8 from 3 for 19 points. He's been doing this on and off, but it's hard to know when you're going to catch fire with him. Dyson Daniels, only 9 points, but 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. That gets it done. A few more points, that'd be nice, but this is fine. And Trae Young apparently just decided to shoot the ball tonight, 31 shot attempts. He finished with 43 points, only 5 assists, 3 steals. So good to know that he's got it in him to do this. Obviously, he's been actively trying to get his teammates a little bit more involved, but he still has it in him to go out there and be the old Trae. So if field goal percentage doesn't matter, then this was pretty good. Although in saying that, 13 of 31 is not terrible. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but 15 of 31 is almost 50%. So I'm assuming that it's not terrible. It's just a lot of bloody shot attempts. Sacramento at Milwaukee. The Bucks 130 get the win over the Kings 115. No Malik Monk, so we get Keon Ellis for at least another game, maybe a week. We will see. Until Monk is back, we hold Ellis. He had early foul trouble in this one, so he did only play 31 minutes. He would have been closer to 36, 37, I would say. He still had a really good game, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, 5 threes. So, yeah, hold. Keegan Murray, 11 and 7. It's not great, but he's a hold. Devin Carter played a little bit more, as I thought. Kevin Huerter didn't really play much more. I suspected that it would be Carter who would play a few more minutes, and he did. Not enough to be rostered or anything like that, but the confidence or faith in Huerter is obviously gone. For the Bucks, Giannis, Lillard, both perfectly fine. Brook Lopez, talked about him on the pregame show. It's potentially a game where he could get going offensively, and he did. He had 21 points, 0 blocks, so we can't seem to get both at the moment. It's points or blocks. So he's a hold, but let's see if he can do both at some point. AJ Green, this time around, did pay off if you streamed him in. 4 threes, 16 points. Bobby Portis quietly just being very meh, 8 and 9. In 21 minutes, as long as Giannis is healthy. I know the risk with dropping Bobby Portis is that if Giannis ever misses a game or Lopez ever misses a game, it's Portis who usually steps up and steps up big. So if you can treat him like a bit of a stash, then I think we just hold him. But if you need consistent production, he's edging towards being a drop, I think. All right, Pelicans at Chicago, 119-113 win for the Pelicans. They're sort of rounding into some nice form here. Trae Murphy continues to be probably their best player. I don't know if there's an argument from anyone. 32-6-4, 3 steals, 1 block. Couldn't hit a 3, but still very good night. Got to the line 12 times and hit all 12. Zion Williamson, only 24 minutes. So still on a bit of a minutes thing here, 21, 7, and 9 with one block. The 9 assists, very, very intriguing indeed. We know he has this in him. Look, a little bit more of the Zion of old. He was attacking the basket. Now, he was against Chicago, so keep that in mind, but encouraging signs for him. Not so for Eve Misi, 4 and 7, 16 or 17 minutes. I won't say that he's a drop yet. I'll probably give him another game or two. Tice played 25 minutes in this. For some reason, they just went with him over Misi. So I'd probably give Misi another game or two, but we've talked about this sort of the past week that he could trend towards being just a specialist. DeJounte went back to his forgetting how to shoot ways. 15 points on 4 of 14 from the field, 7 rebounds, 7 assists and a steal. And CJ also forgot how to shoot, 8 points on 3 of 13. Javonte Green, he does have an interesting fantasy game. 28 minutes, 7 and 4, 1 assist, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Of all of those bench players there, he is the one I would consider. I don't think he plays this many minutes every night. And this was against his former team. Doesn't really mean anything, but let's say it anyway. So I don't mind. If you need to stream someone in when the Pels are playing, he has the ability to do this, to put up numbers across the board. For the Bulls, let me have my coffee. For the Bulls, Coby White returned and moved straight into the starting lineup. So Lonzo Ball moved back to the bench. We assume this. Let's start with LaVine. He was very quiet in the first half, ended with 25, 7, and 5. Patrick Williams, I'm not sure what the purpose of Patrick Williams is at this point. 8 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist in 20 minutes. Surely you just start Buzelis or even Lonzo. You could, depending on your opposition, you could start Lonzo. Tonight you could have done it against the Pelicans. Start Jalen Smith at the 4. I don't know. It's Patrick Williams. If you want to hold him, fine. Vooch had 22 and 15. Giddy scoring 2 of 12. That's rough. But 13 rebounds, 12 assists, 4 steals, 1 block is very nice indeed. As for Lonzo, 25 minutes off the bench, 11, 8 and 6 with a steal and a block. So he's a must roster player. He won't play tomorrow. They've already said that. And Dosunmu will return. So Lonzo, if you can shift him to your IR spot and maybe pick up Dosunmu for tomorrow if he's available, I will assume he'll just slide in and play this role tomorrow. And, Talen Horton-Tucker, we're not adding him, of course. But to me, like he said, I don't know how old he is. He's like 24 or something. He looks like a 45-year-old version of himself when he plays. He's just, I don't know. He's just slow. He looks old. He looks like he should be retired playing in a rec league or something. Funny. Anyway, Denver at Dallas. 118-99 win for the Nuggets. It wasn't really that close, as you can see from the minutes spread here. Dallas sort of fought back a little bit towards the end, but they were never really going to win this one. Jokic, 29 minutes. He had a triple-double. He only attempted 7 shot attempts. Jamal Murray just went nuts in this one, 45 points on 18 of 26 shooting. The starters didn't have to do that much. I think Christian Brown is going to trend towards a dropper. I don't know if I'm there yet. He had 3 blocks, but 6 points. With Aaron Gordon coming back, Watson playing better, Strouther playing better. As I said on the pregame show, I think he's pretty close to a drop now. Westbrook had 9, 6 and 3, 2 steals and a block. Just didn't shoot the ball well, but everything else is fine. If he goes 6 of 11 here, this is, 15, 16, 6 and 3, steal, 2 steals and a block, 2 of 2 from the line. It's fine. Not worried about him at all. For Dallas, though, some worries, maybe. Again, minutes are way down here because this was a blowout and their bench sort of got them back into it late. So the minutes for those guys are a little higher. Derek Lively suffered an ankle injury. No word on the severity of it yet. I couldn't even find a replay of it because I wasn't watching that game. Only lasted 4 minutes. So, I mean, Gafford is the ad here. If Lively is out, quite simple. It's a one for one. We go and add Dan Gafford. Kyrie Irving returned. They play tomorrow. I believe we determined that in the pregame show that they play tomorrow. There's a pretty good chance he sits tomorrow. He had 4 steals. He just couldn't hit a shot. But 30 minutes is encouraging, even if he does sit tomorrow. Klay Thompson, this was sort of the Klay that we were getting at the start of the year, but he had been good in the game prior to this, so I'm not too worried. Najee Marshall, 11-2-4. Look, I mean, the question is going to be Marshall, Grimes, Dinwiddie. Are we holding them? I would be for one more game or two more games. This was not a good indication of what we should expect most nights. Same for PJ, 5-8-4, 2 steals and a block, just couldn't shoot the ball. Again, if he makes 50% of his shots, he's probably at 12 points, which is still not great, but 12 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, maybe a 3. So I'm not too worried. We're not dropping PJ, obviously. And here we go, the final game of the night, Brooklyn at Portland. Let's start with Brooklyn. Cam Johnson returned. D'Angelo Russell returned. Nick Claxton was out. God knows what we're going to get tomorrow. I would assume Cam Johnson might not play. Simmons won't play. Claxton probably will play. Was someone else out. Who else was it? I can't think who the fourth guy was. Oh, hang on. I can probably just scroll down here and look. No, maybe there wasn't. Maybe I thought there was someone else. Anyway, production-wise, look, pretty good night for Brooklyn and for Portland. Simmons, only 5 points, but 9 rebounds, 11 assists. He's a hold, I think. He's doing enough when he's on the court. Keon Johnson had 23-4 with a steal. Noah Clowney, we were asked about him pre-game and after that last game. He had 25-2 with 2 steals and a block. So this is probably his best two-way game that we've seen. So very encouraging. Cam Johnson came back and had 24 points. Didn't do much else, but really didn't skip a beat. And Zaire Williams had 13-7-1. Off the bench, D'Angelo Russell, 21 minutes. The numbers are pretty good. 13-9, 4 steals. Assuming that he moves back into the starting lineup, which I think he will, this is pretty. Like, I think this is about as good as we could expect first game back. He may sit tomorrow. Just beware of that. And if that happens, we get a little bit more of Tyrese Martin. Probably, look, the players that might sit tomorrow, I think Cam Johnson, Ben Simmons, D'Angelo Russell, they're probably the three. And we might get Claxton back tomorrow. But we'll see. God knows with this Brooklyn rotation. I was hoping De'Ron Sharpe would get a little bit more. He had 8-7 with a steal. Yeah, not great. They just went small here. And so he played backup center behind sort of Clowney, Ben Simmons, whoever was playing center. And Ebwoma, he had 10 points. He's been playing well, but he's not playing enough. Now let's look at Portland. We'll start with the good stuff because there's a lot of good stuff here. Tamani Kamara, 23 points on 7 of 21 shooting. So the field goal percentage is way down, but hit his free throws, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So like I said, much like with Clowney, his best two-way performance of the season. Shaedon Sharpe had 21-2-2. Good night for him. Simons, not his best night, 11 points. He did take a shot to the old fella and moved and sat out a little bit. So he could have been playing with a bit of discomfort here. So he'd been playing well before this, so I'm not too worried about it. Scoot Henderson absolutely went off. So hopefully you held him. I said he was a hold and hopefully we held him. 39 points, career high. 8 of 10 from the three-point line, career high. Still had 6 assists, 2 steals. He started. So we did sort of look at this starting lineup coming into the game with Avdija out. And we talked about would it be Henderson or would it be Chris Murray? They went with Henderson. And in terms of production, it was the right move. The Nets won this game, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, 132-114. Now let's get to the bad. And DeAndre Ayton, I'm not gonna swear, but I did come. I stumbled across a tweet from Channing Frye. So if you know the NBA, Channing Frye, former NBA player, and he hosts a podcast called the Road Trippin' Pod. He tweeted out, not so subtly, "I'm watching the Blazer game and it is gross watching a certain player absolutely F off. His minutes is unreal. Please stop playing this person, Trailblazers." Now, we know who he's talking about. Everyone in the comments knows who he's talking about. There are some incidents. If you go back, if you just want to watch the highlights of this game, there is a highlight, the start of the fourth quarter, I think it is. Now, Ayton only played 24 minutes. He had 2 points, 8 rebounds. So get that out of the way. There's a play at the start of the fourth quarter where Blazers have the ball. They run down. Someone, I can't think who threw the pass. Someone tried to throw an alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton. And De'Ron Sharpe intercepted it. So he was basically level with Ayton in the key. He intercepted it. Outlet straight away to someone. They kicked the ball down the court, two passes maybe. Cam Johnson, I think, got the ball at the top of the key, and De'Ron Sharpe ran into the middle of the key, and there was no one, I don't think anyone inside the key with him. Cam Johnson found him for a dunk. The camera zoomed out, and DeAndre Ayton was still at the other end of the court at the free throw line, or maybe just above the free throw line. But he made zero effort to get back. And this was not an isolated incident. The amount of times, now I coach, but I coach kids, obviously nowhere close to NBA level. But one of the things I tell my players, and especially my bigs, because I'm a big, and so I've played center my whole life. And the way I got a lot of my points, because I was undersized playing once I got to a certain level, I was undersized. So I relied on speed and athleticism. And the way I got a lot of my points was on fast breaks, you follow. You don't just assume that a fast break is going to go in. If your team is on a fast break, hustle, because you will not be picked up. They will be focusing on the players ahead of you with the ball. So the chances of you scoring off an offensive rebound are decent. Like you can run down and get an unopposed offensive rebound. And there were a number of occasions in this game where the Blazers had a fast break. They didn't score. They missed the layup. And Ayton was still back at the free throw line just doing nothing. He is such a waste of space at this point, and they have to move him or just don't play him. I don't know. The coaching staff have to be aware of this, surely. Social media is, fans are. It's just pathetic at this point watching him play. And maybe we saw the start of it tonight, because they did play Klingon more in the second half. Ayton was not injured. The issue is Klingon went down in the last minute with an ankle injury, and he looked frustrated. I thought it was his knee, but he came off and walked straight up the tunnel, and he sort of aggressively hit the thing that he walks under, which would say that he knows he's done something here. Big man ankle injury. Usually that's going to mean a couple of missed games, which is unfortunate. Hopefully Rob Williams can come back and pick up those backup minutes, and maybe we see a little bit more of Duop Reith. I really just hope we don't see more of DeAndre Ayton. All right, rant over. Let's get to the questions very quickly. Is Scoot an ad for standard leagues, punting field goal percentage? Yeah, I think he is. I think he's been an ad for a while. Would I drop Cole Anthony or Oubre? I'd have him over Cole Anthony. I know Cole Anthony's been pretty good, but Suggs could be back soonish. We talked this morning about Franz Wagner maybe being 2 weeks away. So I think Cole Anthony, he's okay for now, but if we're looking at longer term, I'd have Scoot. I'd still hold Oubre just because I think there's so many injuries in Philly, and he's been doing enough, I think, especially on the defensive end. Would I drop PJ for Scoot or Nembhard? No. Oh, no, I don't think so. No, I think I'd still have PJ ahead of those guys. With Kyrie back, do we still hold Dinwiddie? Yeah, I think so for another game or two. This was just a bad game. I wouldn't be sort of basing a decision on this game. I'm not going to drop Dinwiddie if that helps. Are the Mavs entering cursed season? Look, they're going to need to hang on here. Where are we? Where's the standings? Western Conference. So they are now third in their division. And they are, what have we got? 550. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're sixth in the West. Ideally, they do not want to get in the play-in. So they want to sort of hover here or at least around 500, I think. So it is going to be touch and go, I think. Would I keep Draymond or PJ? I would keep PJ, but I'm not a Draymond fan. I think PJ just offers a little more offensively than Draymond. Draymond has more upside in assists. Defensively, I think they're pretty comparable now. Draymond Green is sort of over the hill a bit. So, cross-court video of Jalen Johnson floating around getting up shots. Yes, look, so there was word today that he is getting close from the coach. I'm pretty sure it was from Quinn Snyder. Let me have a look. Let's have a look. I'm sure I saw something. Jalen Johnson. Yes, so Coach Snyder said Johnson is progressing and that the team hopes to have him back soon. So we don't know what soon means, obviously, but that's positive at least. So, hopefully he is back fairly soon. D'Lo did well in his low minutes. He did. Do they try and trade him? I don't think so. Shutdown risk, of course, there is, but I think he'll be okay. Alex, I know you were thinking of me when you tweeted about my Sixers. They're not fun. There's a few teams, as I said, that fall into that bucket at the moment, frustrating, but for me, the Sixers are maybe the most just because of expectation and the constant letdown. That to me, like the Blazers, yes, it's frustrating, but there's no expectation. The Sixers are always up there. Up there in terms of expectations and they just fall short. So do I expect Westbrook to be better? Yeah, I think he was fine tonight. As I said, other than the shooting, I think he was good. How long till we get D'Lo unleashed for 30 a game? Oh, look, it could be a week. Maybe no resting back-to-backs. I could be a week as well. I really don't know what Brooklyn are doing. Should I drop Ayton for a Kongwu? No, I'd probably keep Ayton, sadly. I know this. He was really bad, as I said here, and he is really bad, but he still typically does put up numbers. And if Klingon is out and Williams is still out, he's going to have to play minutes. Londez can't get anyone to bite on DeMar. He is a tough sell. Yes, you are correct. Because people just know exactly who he is. Still a buy low on DeMar, Keegan Murray, maybe Monk. Don't want to mortgage my team for Fox Domas. Buy low. I wouldn't buy low on Murray, I don't think. Maybe Monk because of this injury. And DeMar, I don't know, if you could offer up a top 70 player, maybe. Shining Knight, we need to replace Pat Williams with anyone, but Jalen Smith would make sense there. It's not like they defend anyway. THT, he was a good version of Tony Snell tonight. So according to Underdog, Kyrie expects to play Wednesday. Well, that's good. So keep an eye on that. Should I try to get Scoot? Yeah, you could. It depends what you've got to give up to get him. Probably not an ideal time after a 39-point game. Looking like JJ Styles says, looking like Brown's run is over. Yeah, look, it hasn't been good. Would I drop him for either of those guys? Probably not. Caruso, like I said, I think he is just going to stick at 18 minutes and he's really steals only. If you need steals, sure. Dosunmu, I'm not sure how the minutes play out with Lonzo playing so well. I think Dosunmu might push back to 24 to 26 rather than the 30 to 32, and that's pretty borderline. I might consider it for Dosunmu. And look, tomorrow he could play a little bit more with no Lonzo there. But at least Brown is still starting. That's, I guess, one thing he's got working in his favour. Ayton is painful to watch. Yes, it is. Turnovers for Scoot. He had four tonight. Yep. It does appear that Ayton is just all about money. It's... We don't want public perception of Ayton to get too rough, or soon enough you'll be going to see Montrez and an Ayton team. Oh, look, can you imagine what Ayton would do here? Because I have no concerns with his talent. He's a talented guy. He just doesn't try and he doesn't defend. If he came to the NBL, he'd average 30 a game. But, yeah, hopefully he doesn't. Yes, he just wants money. I don't know. Like I've said, the only time I've ever seen him engaged was when Phoenix were winning and they then moved on from him pretty quickly. So that's not good. do I have any career Big Man Got Skills highlights? No, I can't say I have a silky crossover. As I said, I was just all about running and jumping. That was all I did. I was just able to dunk over people. That's really how I got a lot of my points. Which side, Barnes or Asar and Io Dosunmu? So this is Scotty Barnes, I'm assuming. If it is Scotty Barnes, I would go Scotty Barnes. Is now the time to move Ayton? No, I wouldn't. He's going to be pretty. It's a pretty big buy low at the moment on Ayton. Is Dinwiddie a drop? Nerdy nerd. No, I said I'll probably hold him for another game or two, I think. This is back to that question from Ryan. Okay, so which side? So Barnes, Io, or Asar? Or Maxi and Wiggins? So are these the... Oh, hang on. So is this Barnes, Io, and Asar, or Maxi and Wiggins? Okay. So, what do we got? 74 and a lot more, 72, 90, 97. So 25 off waivers. I'd probably go the Maxi side if your waivers are, if you can like salvage that with someone off waivers. Just because I think Maxi's role is pretty set, Wiggins, and their teams are probably going to be playing, well, who knows with the Sixers, but they should both be fighting for a play-in or playoff spot. I don't think the Raptors will be. I'm not sure Asar can do a lot more than he's doing. And as I said, Io worries me a little bit because Ball is playing so well now. What's crazy is that OKC owns the Sixers pick. They do. So that means the Sixers don't want to tank, but they might just have to. There's an Aussie question. I will get to that in a second. TJD or Beasley in a points league? Yeah, I think maybe Beasley. He is safer, as you say. But Detroit look good and they need him scoring. Trayce Jackson-Davis is pretty up and down. So, yeah, maybe Beasley is slightly safer. Who is the most useless starter in the NBA, Pat Williams or Harrison Barnes? Is DeAndre Ayton the answer? He might be. I'm not sure. Does shutdown mean they completely don't play at all? It could. We've seen, I mean, look at Jeremy Grant. He is the lord of shutdown, and he just doesn't play at all. So, yes, it can mean that they don't play at all. They'll just say they've got an injury. Would you drop Nick Claxton for Scoot? Ooh, very different. I think you've just come down to stats there for me. If you need rebounds and blocks, no. If you need points, threes, assists, steals, yes, I think you could. Remember that Scoot won't be this good. So this is really a high point. But yeah, look, if he's a free agent, then sure. Oh, where are we up to? Do I expect Giddy's minutes to be the same? I think so. I think it'll be Talen Horton-Tucker that they'll just drop out of the rotation. I think Giddy's pretty safe. Yeah, look, I'm not sure if Barnes gets shut down. I hope he doesn't. As I've said, I think the Raptors, it would make sense for them to just want to see how the young guys go. Oh, and that's what you've said next. Because they haven't. The quickly, all of his injuries, that's the issue. If he gets to a point where they just shut him down, do they then shut others down? I don't know. What's my outlook on Eason? If he ever gets back, but, I mean, he's basically been ruled out already for tomorrow. What's my outlook on him? It's pretty low, I think, at this point. I just don't see him playing enough to be must roster. He was very good this year, as we know. And he's, but I think his upside will be in assists only, maybe rebounds. I'm holding him in a couple of leagues in my IR spot, but I think moving on is certainly an option. And Joseph Kim, how would I order these players? Scoot, Nembhard, PJ. Probably PJ. Right now, it's probably still PJ, I think. PJ is first. Scoot and Nembhard are close. I think Nembhard might be slightly safer. I mean, if you look at Scoot's offensive output the last five games, they talked about it on the game a couple of times. He had 39 tonight. I think he had zero in the game before. It was last game when he had zero. And then before that, he had 16 or something and 20 and 3. So he's very up and down. The assists are sort of fairly consistent. I just think Nembhard's role is safer until Halliburton's back. So at the moment, it's probably PJ Nembhard Scoot, but that could flip once Hallie is back. And who gets more run tomorrow if Goga is out? Well, I mean, 3 days ago, I would have said Wendell, but Isaac played 27 minutes yesterday and was much better. So I would say, look, maybe we go a minute split. Maybe we just go 24 each. I don't think Wendell will play significantly more than Isaac. So I think it's probably even. Or if they're comfortable now with Isaac out there a bit more, I think it's probably Isaac. And he definitely has more upside per minute. So even if it is a minute split, I would go Isaac over Wendell Carter there for sure. All right, that will bring us to the end of the show. yes, that's valid, Shining Knight. I still expect Isaac to spontaneously combust. Yeah, so I picked him up in one league. We'll see what he does tomorrow. We'll report back tomorrow. Oh, Aussie question. There was an Aussie question. Thank you, Chad. Where was that Aussie question? Yes, and I did read this. So, yes, I am aware that they have confirmed there is a mega version of the Sydney funnel web that is more venomous. So good to know. We might have some new visitors coming down our way. But, look, again, we're so used to spiders and snakes here that it barely makes the news. here. But good to know. So if you're coming to Australia, try not to run into a super venomous mega Sydney funnel web spider. All right, let's wrap it up. There's a big storm about to hit me, so I won't even be able to hear myself, I don't think. I will be back with a pregame show tomorrow, as per normal. And as I said, we'll be doing trade talk on Friday at 3 p.m. with Raphael Johnson before the pregame show, but I'll keep you reminding you about that. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. Please go and do all of the stuff that I ask you to do at the top of the show. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.